Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
It's Thursday, September 24th, 2009, Catholic Connection, EWTN Global Catholic Radio. Thanks for tuning in. If you're a new listener, welcome. You can find out more about us at EWTN.com. My name is Teresa Tomeo. Coming up on the program today, Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life, will be with us right after the news and a quick break. And then at the bottom of the hour, we are going to take a close-up look at this whole issue of New Age. We have an expert that will be on with us. Susan Brinkman is an award-winning Catholic journalist, and she has just produced a series of booklets, fascinating booklets, all about the New Age movement. Learn to discern. Is it Christian or New Age? She has booklets on mind control, neo-paganism, self-discovery, the occult, meditation and prayer, all kinds of different books that can help you discern what's New Age and what isn't. And she'll be talking to us about this at the bottom of the hour. She's also the editor of Canticle Magazine, of course, which is from Women of Grace and my friend Jeanette Bankovic. And I have an article that's coming up in Canticle Magazine. I think it's in the December, January issue, all about media influence and what families need to know. And we'll tell you about Canticle, too, and how you can register for that fine magazine as well. So that is our program for today. Father Frank Pavone and Susan Brinkman. And again, if you have a question, if you're a regular listener, you know that our phone number is 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. And if you live in New York State, in Buffalo or Rochester, I know they're not exactly right next door, but I will be in Buffalo this weekend, this Saturday, at Holy Angels Church, Saturday night, 7:15. They are having a 6 p.m. vigil mass, which you're welcome to attend. And then I will speak at 7:15 on the media and the culture of death. So it's a jam-packed talk with all kinds of information on how the media, mass media, culture, TV, advertising, pornography, the impact of the culture of death, and how the culture of death has all of these, it's like a giant octopus, as I always say, with all these tentacles reaching everywhere. And you really have to see the big picture. Because a lot of people will, pick one issue, let's say abortion, or they'll talk about maybe euthanasia. But all of this is tied together. And I think probably one of the best preps for my talk Saturday evening, if you are going, is if you haven't read it yet, I would at least try to glance over, and I would read the whole thing. I've read it three times now. I'm going to bring it with me on the plane again just to go over it. But Caritas in Veritate, the Holy Father's latest encyclical, Charity and Truth. Because the whole thing is based on the dignity of the human person. And many people are calling it the social justice encyclical. It's much more than that. Yes, he talks about social justice and the social teachings of the Catholic Church, but what he says is everything stems from the dignity of the human person. You can't sit there and say, I care about the poor, or I care about this crisis, or I care about this crisis, and at the same time ignore abortion, ignore the controversy of contraception and the damage that's done to our society. You can't ignore these things and still call yourself somebody who really cares about the person. It's all tied together. And once you remove the dignity of the human person, and once you take human sexuality out of the perspective, out of marriage for procreation purposes, everything else falls apart. Because the person then becomes an object. And this mentality, this thinking, is just so pervasive in everything in our culture. And so it's a tough talk because there's so much information that I try to give. It's like peeling an onion layer after layer after layer after layer. And you get right to the core, and the core is the dignity of the human person and the basic life teachings of the Catholic Church. And the Church has proven right over and over and over again. So I'm going to try to address some of this in our presentation. There's a lot of information that I give. But I end on a positive note with an action plan and also some positive things that are happening where change is occurring. Because I never want to leave people, with like this feeling of, oh, woe is me, and I just want to go in, back into bed and pull the covers over my head and never get up again. We are a people of hope. And we always have hope as long as we have Jesus, which we do. Because he's with us forever until the end of the age. It says so in the Bible. So I'll be talking about that Saturday evening in Buffalo. Shuffle off to Buffalo with me, and I'll see you at Holy Angels Church at 7:15. And maybe if you'd like to join us for the Vigil Mass at 6, By the way, I want to thank WLOF for co-sponsoring this event, and I've got an interview coming up at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, Eastern Time, on WLOF to talk about this event on Saturday evening. So join us there tomorrow afternoon by radio and in person, Saturday at Holy Angels Church. Again, we've got Father Frank Pavone coming up in just a few minutes, and at the bottom of the hour, Catholic journalist Susan Brinkman looking at the New Age movement. Right now, though, at just about 5 minutes past the hour, we are going to take a look at your news for a Thursday morning in September. LifeNews.com reporting on a new study by a Canadian researcher. Study finding that women who have just one abortion increase the risk of having a premature birth in a subsequent pregnancy by some 36%. The research is the latest in a long string of studies confirming the link between abortion and premature birth. With premature births leading to an assortment of physical and mental health problems for unborn children, the researchers say women should be told of the risk before having an abortion. A new study has found that while most Americans agree that changes must be made to the current health care system, the majority don't want their tax dollars or health care premiums to go toward abortions. The survey was commissioned by the USCCB, conducted by International Communications Research. The pollster calling over 1,000 adults in the U.S., asking questions about abortion coverage and health care reform and conscience protections. According to a press release from the USCCB, the researchers finding that 60% of Americans favor the idea of health care reform, as well as affordable health insurance for everyone. Of those who favor reform, 60% opposed taxpayer-funded abortions, 25% were in favor. The Cardinal Newman Society publishing a second edition of the Newman Guide to Choosing a Catholic College, a free online resource for parents and students seeking a faithful Catholic higher education. The guide recommending 21 Catholic colleges in the U.S. and 8 international online and unique programs based on its evaluation of the strength of the school's Catholic identity. Evaluations are based on 4 years of research and hundreds of interviews. Each college or program is profiled on its academic, spiritual life, student activities, as well as residential life on campus. A Republican senator meeting with colleagues to try and hammer out a bipartisan federal health care reform plan says he's expecting to be busy throughout this weekend. Iowa Senator Charles Grassley saying Senate Finance Committee Chair Max Baucus is telling the so-called Group of Six they will be working on amendments this weekend.
I know Senator Baucus wants to get it done this weekend. I don't know for sure if that's possible, but I presume if he pushes hard enough and we put in long enough days and work into the weekend, it will get done.
Grassley says he thinks Baucus, a Democrat, will only get Republican support for the legislation if compromises are made to address GOP concerns. The U.S. Attorney for Western Pennsylvania is saying federal and state authorities consulted with federal and local prosecutors before the G20 summit on every possible scenario. Mary Beth Buchanan says most G20 arrests will be for civil disobedience and property damage. State prosecutors are expected to handle those.
Any issues, however, that deal with the perimeter, the security perimeter, or that could implicate the safety of the dignitaries who are here or the federal law enforcement who are here to protect them would then be a federal violation, which would be prosecuted in federal court.
Buchanan also says security officials have been gathering intelligence for months in case terrorists target the G20 summit, which is taking place in Pittsburgh this week. She declined to say what type of scenarios, though, law enforcement are studying. One of the suicide bombers who was killed nearly 24 peacekeepers in Somalia last week was from Seattle, a Somali language website claiming the bomber lived in Washington State until 2007. The development comes as federal agents continue their investigation into recruiting efforts in the U.S. by a Somali rebel group with suspected ties to Al-Qaeda. The U.S. Senate seat of the late Ted Kennedy expected to be filled today with the appointment of 71-year-old Boston attorney Paul Kirk. TV station there reporting the governor will appoint Kirk as the interim successor to the Massachusetts senator. Hundreds attending a memorial service last night on Long Island for murdered Yale grad student Annie Lay. Temple Beth Ellis, the same synagogue where Lay was supposed to wed her fiancé, Columbia University grad student Jonathan Wadowski. A single photo of the 24-year-old was displayed at the front of the Huntington Temple. Lisa Abramowitz, a Yale grad student and close friend of Lay, says her heart goes out to Wadowski, who is mourning the tragic loss of the love of his life.
How do you get over something like this? You know what I mean? Like, people die. That's just how life is. People get into accidents. People get sick. But people just don't get strangled at work.
Lay disappeared days before her walk down the aisle while working in a Yale research lab. The body was found behind a wall in the lab on what was supposed to be her wedding day. A lab tech is behind bars and charged with the crime. Parents in Hamilton County, Indiana, gathering last night to hear from their county's sheriff about a problem facing many teens, not only in Indiana, but across the country. The Hamilton County Sheriff, Doug Carter, saying the practice of sexting or using camera phones to take sexually explicit pictures that are then sent to friends or significant others is becoming a big, big problem nationwide.
It's as dangerous as anything that I've dealt with in my whole law enforcement career, at least from a longevity standpoint. And once these images and these messages are out there, they're without end and they never stop.
Carter says the pictures are often sent to others after the relationship breaks up, causing years of pain and suffering to the person who took the photo. Could have been a scene right from H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. Arthur Stephen explains it was a frightening scene as Red Dawn greeted residents in parts of Australia, including major cities like Sydney.
Up to 75,000 tons of dust descended on Australia's capital and two of Australia's major coastal cities this morning, reprising the Martian Red Dawn depicted in the author's classic. Winds up to 90 kilometres an hour brought a thick orange hue to the skies over New South Wales, the Australian Capital Territory and Queensland. The blanket of dust crippled services to and from Sydney and Brisbane airports, and authorities raised a health alarm for people with chronic breathing problems. The strong westerly winds were intensified by drought conditions in far western New South Wales and South Australia. The winds and haze have eased in the latter part of the day and are expected to affect New Zealand on Thursday. I'm Arthur Stevens.
A new study finding that one of every three homes in a metro area has at least one big problem that could cause you some health problems. That could be peeling paint or water links, according to the report in USA Today. A nonprofit group called the National Center for Healthy Housing used census data for the study. The study found that Oakland, San Francisco, and New York City had the lowest rankings, while Charlotte, Anaheim, and Atlanta had the best ratings. The worst problem, water damage and the mold it causes. The mold, they say, can make people sick with allergies or asthma. Some 36% of the homes had at least one problem, according to 2007 data, the most recent available. And believe it or not, it's been 70 years since Dorothy and Toto crash-landed on the Wicked Witch. The film version of The Wizard of Oz even gets a birthday gala, but it won't be in Kansas. Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore. Warner Brothers is putting on a gala today at the upscale Tavern on the Green in the Big Apple. The studio is setting up a mock Emerald City complete with a winding yellow brick road. Five of the Munchkins from the movie cast will be there, plus Lorna Loft, the daughter of Judy Garland, who played Dorothy, of course. Right now it is almost 13 minutes past the hour. It's a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Teresa Tomio with you, EWTN, Global Catholic Radio. Up next, Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life. We'll be right back.
Investing can be stressful, especially during tough economic periods. Ave Maria Mutual Funds offers you the peace of mind associated with professional investment management. Experienced portfolio managers make investment decisions based on sound investment fundamentals and pro-life values. If you're a serious long-term investor, now may be a great time to examine your portfolio and see if the Ave Maria Mutual Funds could help you achieve your goals. To learn more, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA for a free investor kit or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Why are millions of children being homeschooled? Because parents want to be in charge of teaching their faith and moral values. Seton Home Study School can help you take charge, supporting you with a Catholic and accredited curriculum. In a national survey, 97% of Seton parents say they would recommend them to another family. Seton Home Study School, the leader in Catholic homeschooling for over 25 years. An information packet is available at setonhome.org or 866-280-1930.
Great schools are places where ideas come alive and get everyone involved. This is what Ave Maria University offers. Come and experience the fruits of a true liberal arts education at Ave Maria University. Unlike schools who take the faith for granted, the faith is the lifeblood of who we are. Ave Maria University, preparing students for success in this world and for never-ending joy in the next. Call 877-AVEU-NIV or click www.avemaria.edu.
Father Frank Pavone joins us every week, normally on a Wednesday, but he switched with Dr. Pia Desilani, who joined us yesterday, of course. If you have a question for Father, 877-573-7825. Don't forget to catch him on EWTN television as well, Defending Life, Friday evenings, 10 o'clock Eastern, and a whole brand new series of shows that are being aired right now. Hey, Father, how are you?
Good. Good to be back with you today.
Yes, and so glad to have you on the program. Always get an interesting conversation going with you. I wanted to just share with you, I don't know if you had heard about it or not, we were chatting about this during the break, about this situation with Father John Jenkins, the president of the University of Notre Dame, announcing late last week that he is forming this special pro-life task force, that he wants to go to the March for Life, that he wants to open up dialogue on the life issues. And I don't know if you've had a chance to look at any of this, but I thought what I'd start out our segment with was just reading a very brief part of an excellent letter that was written by a law professor at Notre Dame that's circulating on the Internet now, Professor Rice, who's written a book called What Happened to Notre Dame, and he brings up some excellent points. So why don't I just read some things from you to kind of bring you up to date, and then I'd like to get your opinion. Professor Rice writes, your letter announced your formation of the task force on supporting the choice for life. Rather than offer a detailed evaluation of my own, I note my agreement with the personal analysis of William Dempsey, president of the Sycamore Trust, calling attention to the obviously deliberate exclusion from task force membership of anyone associated with the ND organizations that have been unashamedly and actively pro-life, including the Center for Ethics and Culture and the ND Fund for the Protection of Human Life. Nor was a student representative chosen from the leadership of the student RTL organization or from anyone active in last year's student alliance protesting the honoring of the president ND response. It's hard to resist the inference that this is a move toward marginalizing the center and the fund, neither of which receives any university support the way it is. Finally, it is unsettling but instructive that this announcement comes a day after Father Jenkins' annual address to the faculty in which he described his goals for the year, which included increasing female and minority faculty representation, but not a word about the most crucial problem facing the university, the loss of Catholic identity through the failure to hire enough Catholics to restore the predominance required by the mission statement. This is just one section of the letter, and he's addressing here the exclusion of so many people that, A, were involved in the ND response, the beautiful rally and the mass and some of the peaceful counter-protest. He's not including any of those people in this task force, apparently, nor is he including pro-life groups, especially the Center for Ethics and Culture, which is excellent. And then the letter goes on to talk about the fact that he's not dropping the charges against the protesters. And at the same time, he's deciding that he's going to march on Washington, even though the protesters on the campus of Notre Dame are doing the same thing that he's going to do, supposedly, in January. So that's just a little nutshell, Father, of the latest on the Notre Dame scandal. I was just wondering if you could kind of give us your perspective on it.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is that when I was with those students, leading them in their alternate commencement ceremony that day that the president was honored, the tone that the students set was very clearly not an anti-Father Jenkins, anti-Notre Dame attitude.
Right.
It was, this is what our school is really about, and we're going to celebrate the true spirit of Notre Dame, and that spirit is Catholic and is pro-life. And that's what, of course, supporters, alumni, people who have put so much into making that school grow, also believe and have believed over the years. So I don't know what justification he would have for excluding them if he sees this as a, you know, some kind of personal attack on him. That certainly wasn't the spirit of the students who put together the ND response team, and I saw it firsthand for myself being with them that day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the spirit in which we have to proceed. You know, I've never had any doubt that he himself is against abortion, so I'm not, I'm glad he's going to go to the March for Life, and I'm glad he's making it clear that he's going to do that. But, you know, there's a lot of people against abortion. The problem here is of course separate from that. It's the whole question of scandal and Catholic identity, and you know how do we be a Catholic institution in the midst of a presidential administration that's so contrary to so much of what we stand for.
Plus, he also defied his own bishop, and there's no sign of an apology or you know. Nothing. I mean, how many letters did he receive from bishops and priests from around the country, you know, talking about that this was bringing scandal? You know, nothing about that. And it really is unsettling to me. I think the biggest thing, excluding these kids, if you really want dialogue, these students respectfully approached him Obama coming and giving the commencement speech and receiving an honorary degree, asked him to sit down with them. And he just shut them down. So where's the dialogue?
Well, it's interesting to see what kind of dialogue, if any, he's really talking about. I mean, even with the president, you know, he said, well, we're going to bring him here and this will open up a dialogue or give us the opportunity to open up a dialogue. Well, where is that? What is that going to be?
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. Kimberly calling from St. Joseph, Missouri on line one. And by the way, if you have a question for Father Frank Pavone, 877-573-7825. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi. Father Pavone, thank you so much for your hard work. I appreciate you so much. And
oh,
all
thank you.
The work for Pro-Life, too. You're such an example for us.
Thank you.
I work at a Catholic college, a small Catholic college, and a lot of my confreres, nuns and priests, do not agree with me on the importance of the abortion issue. This was very painful last year during the election, and it's still painful. I don't know quite how to deal with this. We even had a priest bring in a pro-abortion, pro-contraceptive speaker to one of his classrooms to give the other side.
Ah!
And the president of the college, who is a priest, allows these things to happen. And I just get to the point where I just withdraw into myself and pray because I don't feel like I have a right to say my own opinion about the abortion issue, which I feel extremely strongly about. So I just want your advice on how to deal with this.
Yes, yes. Well, one of the things going on, especially in an academic environment, but also just in the wider church and the wider society, is that the issue is made much too abstract. You know, I'm sure they'll come up with all kinds of arguments. We're against abortion, but... And then they start going into all this theoretical stuff about its relationship with the other issues. I like to counter that by simply exposing abortion and maybe, as opportunities present themselves for you do you teach at this college?
Yes, I do,
but
I'm not in the theology department. I'm in the English department. Try and bring up some issues, like we've used some of your articles.
Yes.
Or writing papers.
Yes.
And things
like
that.
Is there a pro-life club or group in the school?
Yes, it's very small, but it's active, but there's no teachers involved. It's just students. They want it just to be students.
They want it just to be students.
Yeah.
Well, if you have, whatever opportunities you have to encourage those students, I would say to them, you know, let's challenge our, I think one of the first things that a campus pro-life group needs to do is to just challenge its own faculty, where there needs to be a challenge, and I think the challenge has to be, let's stop making this so abstract, and let's get first of all the descriptions of the abortion procedure circulated into the hands of every student, and let's get the testimonies of the people who are hurting from abortion before the eyes and ears of every student. I think a great campus activity is to have a Silent No More gathering where the women and men can stand up and speak their story, because then this is coming down out of the realm of the conceptual, and it's touching people in real experience, and there's nothing like that can help people say yes, this is of greater importance than I thought it was.
Well, I know the students have tried to do some things like that, but the president says it's too political, and he doesn't.
It's too political, but a priest too can political. Bring in somebody to talk about contraception.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
For example, the kids wanted you to come to speak, and they were told that that was too political.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Inviting a priest to a Catholic school is too political. Isn't that, you know, this word has been really terribly abused, this word political.
I want to scream, Calgon, take me away. Remember that old commercial? That's how I feel sometimes.
Well, and you pray for me, too, because I do look for those little opportunities, but it's very wearing on the spirit.
Yes. Well, the little opportunities are what will strengthen you. You know, you see the opportunities, you take them, you work with identifying students who are very committed to this cause and encouraging them, helping them network with one another. Those are key things.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay. God
all right,
you.
And pray for us.
I sure will.
Thanks, Kimberly. Okay. Stay strong. 877-573-7825. Father, interesting report that came out. It was on lifenews.com this morning, a new study showing that there's an increase. There's a whole bunch of medical issues associated with even a woman having one abortion, that a 36% increase in, for example, the next pregnancy could end in a premature birth, which I thought was very interesting.
Yes, it is. Yeah, and of course, one of the reasons for that is that the abortion weakens the cervical muscles, and the body is holding that child tight and secure, and the abortion is just going in there and saying nope, it's time to take the child out, and it's just so unnatural. There's always going to be consequences, and many of them do relate to subsequent pregnancies.
But the thing is that the women aren't being told this going into the abortion centers.
Yeah, that's right. Those who are so interested in proclaiming pro-choice, don't want to tell the woman what she's choosing. And that's always an ironic thing that I bring out whenever we work for informed consent legislation. I mean, that's not even – we know that that cuts down on the number of abortions, because the more they know about it, the more they choose against it. But it's not even taking away the quote-unquote choice. And yet the other side doesn't want them to know and have more information.
Yeah, but they really care about women, though.
When we point out things like that, that's where we can reach middle America and say, because most people, even who say they're pro-choice, they won't understand that. They'll say, well, of course she should know what she's choosing. Of course there should be informed consent for any medical procedure.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Jenny has a good question. She is a new convert to Catholicism, and she's calling from the Midwest on line 3. Hi, Jenny. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I just had a question for Father. I was hoping that maybe you could explain a little bit about the things that I saw and the things that I read during the whole Notre Dame controversy. And I have been a Catholic just for a few years, and it's really hard to come into especially the Catholic religion, not having been a cradle Catholic. And I just saw so much hate in that kind of stuff, and the things that I was reading in the Catholic paper, and I just had a really hard time with all of that hatred feeling that I was getting, and I missed where God was put in there, and I was just kind of hoping maybe you could shed some light on that for me.
Yes. What were some of the things that you did see and hear that gave you that impression?
Well, I guess because I felt like I understood on the one side that they were standing up because they didn't want him to receive the law degree, and because of his stance on the abortion issue. But I guess some of the protests I thought were way over the top, that I just thought were unnecessary, like the red babies and the strollers really bothered me.
You're saying, Jenny, that were used? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I just thought that maybe we could turn it into more of a teaching experience, and people looking at this stuff and saying, you know, if this is what Catholics are about, I'm not really sure, you know, that I want to be Catholic. I thought we could turn it into something that people would look at and say, wow, you know, look at how those Catholics really handle controversy. I don't know, maybe the bishop could have spoke to the president, but, you know, maybe just trying to teach teach more instead of being so, it just seemed like everything was so hate-filled.
Well, where were you getting your information? Were you watching, just curious, if you don't mind me asking, were you watching a lot of the secular media during this coverage?
No, we have a Catholic newspaper here, and okay. I got a lot of it out of that, and it's not just a local paper. It did have things from all over in it, and it just...
Which Catholic paper, can I ask?
The Today's Catholic.
Okay. Is that for your diocese?
Yeah, I don't know. I think so. It's just okay. The one that we get. It was just, you know, some of the protests I thought were just, I don't know. I just looked around and I thought, where is God in this? Where is our godly, Christly attitude in these things? I just had a really hard time. I had to go and talk to my priest, and I don't know.
Let's get Father to address this.
Well, I understand what you're saying. And, you know, there were the response to the Notre Dame problem and to President Obama was multifaceted. There were a lot of different responses on a lot of different levels. And really the response of the students there at the campus itself who were pro-life was the one that didn't get enough attention. You know, part of what we're seeing here is this. There were many different responses of different kinds. Remember that the responses that that news media will tend to report on first and foremost are those that involve conflict. And so you'll tend to see the protests come out first. But the fundamental response of the students was one of prayer. In other words, these students, even the ones that went so far as to say, I'm not even going to show up to greet the president, they rallied starting with a mass, and their commencement ceremony, which they invited me to lead, was a rosary service. So, and the students said this very explicitly. They said, we're Catholic. We want to start with the affirmation of all that we believe in the Mass, in the Rosary, in prayer, and in public witness to the truth about the sanctity of life. And that was a response, really, that a lot of people around the country had, because those students started a million rosary campaign. They did it on their website, and in fact, they're still accepting people to make prayer pledges for rosaries, because they want to get a million rosaries said for the conversion of those who support legal abortion, starting with our president. And so this was a very appropriate response, obviously. The other thing I would say, though, is this. You know, I know the people who were protesting as well. And there's, you know, when a conflict situation arises and there is protest, and sometimes there are activities that are can be fairly disturbing and shocking, like you said, the imagery that some of these protests were using. You know, these people are not motivated by hatred as such. They're motivated by a desire to give witness, to change things, and sometimes prophetic witness is very disturbing. And you know, we see that in Scripture too. We see the prophets not only speaking the word of the Lord, but also doing symbolic actions that really are meant to shake people's consciences. For example, the prophet Jeremiah at one point, you know, had God told him, tell Israel that, you know, the Babylonians are coming and are going to punish them, and this is because of their sins. So Jeremiah gets a potter's flask, and he goes out in front of the people, and before he starts giving his teaching, he takes the flask and he smashes it on the ground, and he says, thus says the Lord, this is what he is going to do to your nation. So but as you say, we can't have a spirit of hatred, but I would make a distinction between hatred, which really means, you know, I'm against this person, and versus a prophetic protest, which says, it can actually be motivated by love and compassion, but which says we have to take a clear stand here, we have to oppose an evil which a lot of people have grown accustomed to, and we have to do something to shake their conscience and wake them up. But I understand exactly what you're saying, and a lot of people were confused about, you know, all the different things that were going on at that time.
Yeah, I also think too, Jenny, and this is you know, if you're a new Catholic, I know this can seem all very confusing and overwhelming, but Father, you know, the importance of you know, at times using the graphic images. We have no problem. National News yesterday had a story on the city of New York, which is going to be using these ugly images of a blackened lung to try to get people to quit smoking. You know, how many times have we seen the images of the car crashes that are shown to students or people who, you know, have driving issues, you know? We see all these different images that are often used, and nobody has a problem with that. Nobody has a problem with showing abused animals, and yet the occasional use of these photos or these images to wake people up to what abortion actually is always painted as so negative and so wrong and not loving, when it actually is a portrayal of the truth in love to show what's happening to the human person. You know, and I'm saying not every single time do we use these photos, but there are times when these images, I think, are necessary. Father?
Yeah, but then again, the predominant response was, especially on the campus, was one of prayer.
And the peaceful rally and the prayer, and it was beautiful. But see, that didn't get a lot of coverage.
Right, right.
Yeah. All right, Jenny, thanks. Appreciate it. Stay tuned to Catholic Radio, EWTN, and watch Father Pavone on Friday evenings to get the full scoop and the real story about the life issues. Father, thanks. We are out of time, and we will catch up with you next Wednesday.
Very good. Good to
talk
to you.
All right, God
bless you. Bye now.
Coming up next, we have Catholic journalist Susan Brinkman has a fantastic series of booklets all about the New Age, and she joins us up next.
If God wrote a letter to you, would you read it? God did write a letter, the Bible. I'm Jeff Cavins, inviting you to come on the great adventure and study the Bible with me as we enter God's plan of sheer goodness. To learn how to bring the Great Adventure Bible Timeline to your parish or home, visit AveMariaRadio.net or call 1-800-376-0520. Please mention Ave Maria Radio when you call to see how you can receive 20% off your study materials.
Pay less, earn more with Michigan Catholic Credit Union.
Want a low-rate, no-annual-fee Visa credit card with perks? An MCCU Visa has the best perks. Check it out. No balance transfer fees, no minimum finance charges, and no cash advance fees. What could be better? How about scorecard bonus points? Earn 1 point for each dollar charged to an MCCU Visa. Redeem points towards travel packages, airline tickets, and name-brand gifts. Call now and transfer those other credit card balances by calling 866-NOW-MCCU or visit us online at www.michigancatholiccu.org.
Pay less, earn more. Michigan Catholic Credit Union.
Federally insured by NCUA.
Don't you agree that connecting with Catholics attracts like-minded consumers to your business? The Catholic Business Pages allows your business to have exposure among Catholic consumers and expands your opportunity as a business professional to get connected in your community. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Catholic Business Pages link. Get connected. Reach Catholic families. Take your business to the next level.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
Stuff we shouldn't be getting into that's masking itself as quote-unquote Christian or faith-based when it's actually New Age and in many cases demonic. And so how do you figure this stuff out? Well, thanks be to God, there's great resources. Among them, a new series of booklets by our friend, award-winning Catholic journalist, author, editor of Canonical Magazine, and also Third Order Carmelite. We were just chatting about our love for St. Teresa of Avila. Susan Brinkman is on with me. Hey there, how are you?
Just great, Teresa. How about you?
I am well, thanks be to God. How did you first get interested? I know that you've written a lot about this topic. What started your interest in this particular area?
I guess when the Vatican came out with that document back in 2003,
mm-hmm.
It's Jesus Christ, the Bearer of the Water of Life. It's an excellent document. I went and read that, and I really started to get more involved. And I thought, you know what, we need to warn people about what's going on out here. And I started to look into it more and more and more, and wrote a series for the Catholic Standard and Times, where I was working at the time,
mm-hmm.
on a lot of these different movements or modalities, as they like to call them in the New Age. And I got a letter from a man. And it was an email, and he wrote to me to say, oh, yeah, you did a great job in the article, Sue, but you left something out. You didn't give us a list of what's, you know, what, which one of these things is okay for Catholics to use and which ones aren't. And I remember thinking to myself at the time, how sad that it's so far beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many of them now, you can't make a list. What you need to do is you need to learn how to discern. And that's really, that long ago is where this whole project, I think, got its birth. It's from that one man, and I didn't save the email. I wish I knew who he was, but I would thank him for it. But we need to do that nowadays, and it's really not that hard.
Mm.
It's
all
very
right.
Simple.
Let me put out the phone number first, because I know you're being very generous, and you want to give a few copies of the books away. So what we'll do is when you call in and ask a question, we'll take your phone number and your email information, and then we'll forward it to Susan, and then you can talk with her and decide which book you want, because you have several of them. You have one on the occult. You have, the glossary of New Age terms. You have mind control. You have meditation and prayer. So you have a number of them, right?
Right. Well, there's 14 of them, and the whole set will be 34. But as of right now, we have 14 of them printed, and it's on everything from Reiki, yoga, astrology, psychics, the Enneagram, goddess worship, centering prayer, A Course in Miracles, which, Oprah was pushing so much last year. Therapeutic touch, psychics, Wicca, magic, and the labyrinth, echo spirituality. That's another big one. But the reason we did it this way is I had originally written a great big book. It was like an anthology. And then I realized, people in different parts of the country deal with different things. I don't know what's big out in your area, but out here it's Reiki, centering prayer, and yoga.
Mm-hmm.
They're the big ones. But down in the Southwest, it's more of, shamanism and magic and that sort of thing. Magic, I guess, is pretty big everywhere. But goddess worship is big down there, echo spirituality. Native American spirituality is very big in the Southwest. So I thought this way people could just buy what applies to them rather than having to get the whole thing.
All right, let me put out the phone number because I know there's probably tons of questions out there. 877-573-7825. All right, how do we discern? You were saying earlier it's pretty easy. With so much out there, how is it easy? Sometimes I think it'd be complicated.
No, it isn't. Because you just have to ask these simple questions. And I put them in the very back of the book. I call them my discernment tools. And they really work. If you're confronting something, you ask yourself several questions. You ask, how is God being presented in this particular modality? Is he a person with whom you have a relationship? Or is he an energy that you manipulate? Okay? This is a no-brainer. Is there just one Jesus, or are there thousands of Christ? That's a big teaching in the New Age, that Jesus was just one of many prophets, or ascended master, as they like to call him. Is there one human being, one universal being, like we're all connected? That's New Age, or are we individuals, Christians? These are some of the, and they really will come out when you're encountering certain things. Do we save ourselves, or is salvation from God, which is Christian? We save ourselves in the New Age. A Course in Miracles is famous for that one.
Mm-hmm.
That teaches that you're really already in heaven. You just don't know it yet. And what you need to do is wake up. And by waking up, they mean reprogram your mind to get rid of your Christian worldview and take on a whole new worldview where you are divine.
Mm-hmm.
And you will then find your divine center, so to speak. So, and the book contains, every booklet out there has this part in the back of the book. I just insisted that it be in every single one. Prayer and meditation. This is another one that really gets all distorted, like in centering prayer. Are you talking to yourself, or are you talking to God? Now, if you're talking to yourself, it's New Age. Are you sitting in an empty void? That's New Age. That's transcendental meditation. But are you talking to God? That's Christian prayer. Is when you're actually in a dialogue with the Lord in your prayer. Are you tempted to deny sin? This is another one that's a real red flag. Do they deny sin?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we accept that there is such a thing as sin, which is the Christian version? There's never any such thing as sin or the devil. That's another one who's conspicuously absent in all of your New Age teachings. Then the devil just is not a part of it.
Yeah, what did C.S. Lewis say? The biggest lie of the devil is to convince people that he doesn't exist. Yeah.
Exactly, and know what? He's been very successful at that. I hate to say it, but he really has been. Most people are very convinced. When they go to these seances and stuff, and that's really a very big thing. The spiritualism has really made a comeback through the New Age.
Ugh.
And that's where, all kinds of divinations, the psychics, and you go to channelers, and astrologers and that sort of thing. That's a really big thing right now is, oh, yeah, such and such appeared my dead relative. And they really believe that this happens. And they have, because they have no concept of the reality of the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm. And what they're tapping into, the dangers of it. Let me take a break because we have full lines, no surprise, and I want to give Andrew a chance, my producer, to get some other folks on the phone. We're talking with Catholic journalist, award-winning journalist Susan Brinkman. She's the editor of Canticle Magazine. And this series, Learn to Discern, by the way, is a Women of Grace study series. She's also a Third Order Carmelite, and it's all about the New Age movement, and they're very readable. There's going to be 34 books in total. Right now there's 14, and we are giving away some copies this morning. What we'll do is take your information and Susan will contact you, and you can pick which one you want. 877-573-7825. And Susan, I can't stress enough the importance, and I know that having worked with Jeanette, we talk about this a lot, is to keeping yourself in the scriptures, in the sacraments, because this helps you to discern. I have found that just by praying and being and going and being very strong in my faith, or at least trying to do the best I can, that the Holy Spirit will there'll be a check in your spirit about this stuff.
Oh, absolutely. You know? You will do it. And another thing that really, really worked, and it worked for me, is consecration to the Blessed Mother, mm-hmm. the St. Louis de Montfort method. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the promises that she makes, that you may be deceived, but if you're one of hers, you will not be deceived for long.
Amen.
And she has so lived up to that in the course of my life and warned me away from things that I really wouldn't have known about unless I felt like what you said, that little nagging thing inside that says, get away from this.
All right, we'll be right back. Susan, hold on. We have full lines, busy morning. Lots of folks want to talk to you. More with Susan Brinkman when we come back on a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Also, check out womenofgrace.com where you can order Canticle Magazine. And the books are, how can you get the books if you want to order the whole set?
Well, if you're on Facebook, you can go to my Facebook page, Susan Brinkman. That has two N's on the end. Or you can go to womenofgrace.com and go into our bookstore and order it. Just search under New Age and they'll come right up.
All right, we'll be right back with Susan Brinkman. Stay tuned.
The 12th Call to Holiness Conference takes place at the Shrine of the Little Flower in Royal Oak, Saturday, October 10th. The purpose of this conference is to reach all Catholics, to present and to teach about the great treasure that we Catholics possess, the Holy Mass. Often people come to Mass without truly understanding what is going on. Speakers like Father Edouard Perron intends to have a priest play act the Mass while he will explain each gesture, each prayer, while Father Michael Foley will explain how the Mass shaped the Western world. At this time, when Pope Benedict declares the year for priests, this conference will just underscore the true role of the priest. Pope Benedict is more and more emphasizing the infinite value of the Mass and how we, as Catholics, need to be disposed to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. Following our Holy Father's lead, the theme for this year's Call to Holiness Conference is Treasures of the Mass. To register, go to calltoholiness.com or call 586-247-1497. That's 586-247-1497.
If you had a choice, would you want to live till you're 80 or 40? Well, what about your car? 10 years or just 5 years? We can't control when we die, but you're likely to double the life of your vehicle when you get regular maintenance at Fauzi's Auto Repair.
Maintenance, it's a must. Power steering, brake, transmission. That's the last thing on their mind is changing these fluid. It's forgotten.
For example, failing to flush your engine coolant can clog the heater core. This not only can result in having no heat in the winter, but eventually produces mechanical failure.
You know, most failure is basically neglect.
Why spend thousands of dollars on mechanical failures when a small fraction can greatly extend the life of your vehicle? Go to Fauzi's Auto Repair today to see what you could potentially save in just 5 years. Call Fauzi today at 734-665-8700. Mention you're a WDEO listener for a discount. That's 734-665-8700. Fauzi's Auto Repair. It's your car, their reputation.
Keeping you connected to your faith, 877-573-7825. Catholic Connection, a Thursday morning edition of our program, Coast to Coast and Around the Globe through EWTN, Global Catholic Radio. Check out Susan's work. on the Women of Grace website. Of course, she works with Jeanette Bankovic, my dear, dear friend and sister, who's an amazing witness. Jeanette's done a lot of work on educating people on New Age as well. And this is a Women of Grace study series on the New Age that's written by Susan Brinkman, who is a Third Order Carmelite, the editor of Canticle Magazine, an award-winning Catholic journalist and author. And let's go to the phones. People have questions about this whole New Age movement. And just a reminder that when you call in to give Andrew your information, because Susan is going to make several copies of these booklets available to you. Let's go first to Rick in South Bend, Indiana, calling on line three. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Teresa. Hello, Susan.
Hello.
My question deals with yoga. In particular, we've been told that that's not a good Catholic practice to do any yoga because in a form it's worshiping some of the Hindu gods. However, some Catholics do yoga, and, you know, there's different names for the different stretching or exercises that they do. And the Catholics, of course, don't know that they are in a, you know, it seems like they would not know that they were worshiping any of the Hindu gods. So in the same, how can this be wrong? Because it seems like if people receive the Eucharist and they don't even know that they're receiving the body of Christ, or they, you know, deny the existence of God in the Eucharist, it doesn't do them any benefit. So how can it do Catholics harm if they deny the Hindu gods? Does that make sense?
That's an excellent question, Rick. You know, there is, if you don't have the intention when you're doing yoga of worshiping a Hindu god, if that's not your intention, there is diminished culpability there. That's very true. However, you are obligated to do away with ignorance on these subjects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You are obligated to understand what yoga is. And if you could go on the Internet in 2 minutes and find things about yoga that would be deeply unsettling to you as a Christian and as a Catholic. You know, every position, every yoga position, the sun stretch, the cobra stretch, these are all positions of worship to Hindu gods. That's what they're there for. And whether you intend to do it or not, you are bowing in that particular position. This is derived from Hinduism. Hinduism is part of it. You can change the name any way you want, but you can't change the nature of something by changing the name of it. Okay, that's what people like to do with Reiki and the energy in Reiki. They say, oh, it's the Holy Spirit. No, it isn't. It's a universal energy source. You can't do that, okay? I would tell people to stay away from yoga completely. Having been a former fitness instructor in my younger days, I can tell you, you don't need yoga to stretch. There's plenty of different things you can mm-hmm. do out there to stretch. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be yoga. You don't have to be, bowing to people. In your class, you know, you say the namaste. That means I bow to the God within you. There's all kinds of things inherent in a yoga class that are just dripping with Hindu spirituality, and you are opening yourself up to being influenced by it, and in a particular way to being influenced if that teacher should want to start proselytizing. They all say, oh, I don't do it. But then you'll find out they'll say things to you like, okay, let's quiet down now and connect with the God within us. You know, they'll do little things like that. And unless you're very, very strong in your faith and very, you know, well-informed about what you're doing, you do not belong in a yoga class. And I don't care if they're doing it in a Catholic church, which they are doing, by the way, and in Christian churches they have Christian yoga, it doesn't work.
No.
Rick, you can't change the nature of something by changing the name.
All right, Rick, we've got full lines. We've got to move on. Hang on, though, so hopefully we have your information. Christine from Dallas, Texas, on line two. Good morning. Hi, Christine. You there?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi. I'm so glad you're talking about this. I have a very dear, lifelong friend who is into everything you've just talked about. We also share in our career, but she's a registered, very gifted massage therapist. I wonder if I'm putting myself at danger if I'm... She says she doesn't do all that stuff when she's doing massage. But at the same time, we did have a confrontation and about... this whole religion thing, and I had to end up in truth and kindness and love stand up for the faith and say, no, there is one God, and I know who the God is, and it's this Holy Trinity. And she went into a shrieking fit, and since then we have not been speaking, although I pray for her every day. We're estranged, and so my question is, should I pursue this relationship further? Should I put myself at her professional services? And what if, I mean, I feel like I'm failing in charity to not...
I don't know. That's scary if she reacted that way, Susan.
Teresa, I could barely hear her.
Okay, what she was saying was that she was saying that she has a friend who is a lifelong massage therapist, who's a very gifted therapist, and she confronted her about, they got into a discussion about religion. I'm really paraphrasing here for sake of time, and the woman reacted very, very strongly and very negatively, and they haven't spoken. And my instant reaction, the Holy Spirit telling me if she's reacting that negatively when you're talking about Christianity, that there's something wrong there.
Oh, absolutely, and I don't know what kind of massage therapy she's into, because a lot of Reiki and therapeutic touch and hands of light and all that, they all disguise that as being massage therapy. There is legitimate massage therapy that's medically approved. It's the real thing. But then you have a lot of these charlatans out there doing this energy medicine type stuff. And I kind of, you know, her reaction to religion makes me think, I wonder how influenced she is by some of this energy stuff. Do you know if she's involved in any energy medicine?
Well, what a cranial sacral, or sacral?
Oh yeah, cranial sacral is energy medicine. Yeah, okay. That's believing in a fluid in the brain, and that the fluid, by the way, doesn't even exist according to science. You know what? You might be interested in the little book we call Energy Medicine Reiki. I don't know that she's probably going to bite your head off, but at least you could give her the book and let her read it on her own. You don't have to try to talk to her. That's one of the reasons I made the booklets the way I did, because I know that, and I've encountered it myself. People, they don't want to hear it. And when you try to explain it, they just, oh, you're just being a fanatic, a religious fanatic, and you don't understand what's going on, and da-da-da. Give it to them and let them read it themselves, and the Lord will speak to their heart while they're reading it.
Yeah. You know what, Susan, we have got to have you back on, because we still have full lines. We only got through, two or three of the calls, and there's people holding. So I'm going to have Andrew schedule you after the program, but I just want, because we only have about a minute left. I did want to make mention, one of the callers from Fowlerville, Michigan, did make mention of this program on ABC now called Eastwick, which is all about witches and everything, and very, very, a lot of sexual content. And this is another area that we have to be aware of in terms of the way these things are portrayed. You know, it's somewhat of a comedy, you know, it's about relationships, it's very vile in terms of the sexual content. But accepting this message into your home about magic and witches and, you know, sexual promiscuity, that desensitizes us, doesn't it?
That's right, especially for children. That is a very, very dangerous thing to get them involved in.
All right, Susan Brinkman, hang on. And also, those of you who are on the line, please stay on. We need your information to get you a copy of one of Susan's great booklets. Go to womenofgrace.com for more information and check out the series on the New Age. We'll have Susan back on tomorrow. We're going to talk about the radio conference and a new book on the Holy Father and the Divine Mercy. We'll be back on a Friday. Have a great day.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Why are millions of children being homeschooled? Because parents want to be in charge of teaching their faith and moral values. Seton Home Study School can help you take charge, supporting you with a Catholic and accredited curriculum. In a national survey, 97% of Seton parents say they would recommend them to another family. Seton Home Study School, the leader in Catholic homeschooling for over 25 years. An information packet is available at setonhome.org or 866-280-1930.
Hi, I'm Tom Lowy, Development Director at Ave Maria Radio. I talk about Catholic radio all the time, and it never ceases to amaze me when I hear people say that they didn't even know there was such a thing as Catholic radio. I'll bet you've heard that too. But that's not good. Something has to change if we want to get the word out about Ave Maria Radio. Now believe me when I tell you, we can't afford to have fancy ad campaigns on TV or billboards on all the major intersections in town. But we do want people to know about Catholic radio. So we have to get the word out the old-fashioned way. We have to tell a friend. You see, if we want to grow, we have to do it one listener at a time. That's the conventional way to success in radio. And you can help. And here's how. you can tell a friend about Catholic Radio. It's as simple as that. Tell them that it's on 990 on the AM dial. Tell them that you listen to it and that you like it. Tell them about all the great